About 18 months ago, God gave us this vision of being rooted and growing and sowing. And over the last year, we believe that he has been asking us as a church to pay attention to our roots, which have been painted beautifully in gold paint in this picture. In the spring, we spent time looking at being rooted in prayer. In the summer, we focused on being rooted in worship, culminating in last week's church weekend, where we looked at our whole life being an act of worship. Today, we begin a new four-week series on being rooted in the Word, which will take us up until Advent at the end of November. So we're going to read a passage from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, from verse 4 to verse 15. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This story is found in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's commonly known as the parable of the sower. But in fact, less is said about the sower than anything else. So we might be better calling it the parable of the seed. Jesus himself says that the seed represents the word of God. In other words, the good news that Jesus came to embody and to share. However, several commentators suggest that it should instead be called the parable of the soils, representing those who hear the good news and their varying responses to it. So we have our title for today, The Soil Matters. Someone else has said that this story is as near as Jesus ever comes to explaining himself and his mission. Jesus sees his mission as a way of speaking and acting, which will give people the greatest opportunity to respond to the word of God. Let's briefly look at these different types of soil and the people they represent, and then see what we can learn from this wonderful story. The first group of people are those who are hard-hearted. The seeds on the road are those who hear the word, but no sooner do they hear it than the devil snatches it from them, so they won't believe and be saved. Some just won't believe. Just as when soil is trodden down, it becomes compacted. These people are hardened to the good news. For whatever reason, they're hostile to the word of God, insensitive to its truth, and unresponsive to its message. As one commentator says, the spirit of indifference may have crept into them, perhaps little by little, until it was total. Their hearts having become as hard as the path on which the seed of the parable was scattered. There are echoes here of a verse in the book of Ezekiel where God is describing the reaction of the people to Ezekiel's prophetic message. To them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. For they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. The second group of people are faint-hearted. The seeds in the gravel are those who hear with enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm doesn't go very deep. It's only another fad, and the moment there's trouble, it's gone. These people respond impulsively, immediately and enthusiastically. Of course, there's nothing wrong with expressing emotions, but these are people who are ruled by them and whose emotions are superficial, not based on deep-seated convictions. The mark of genuine faith is whether it can endure testing. Nikki Gumbel says, I have never met a strong person with an easy past. Faith is tested. This type of soil really demonstrates the importance of this year's sermon series, rooted in prayer, rooted in worship, and now rooted in the word. If seed is planted in shallow soil, which doesn't retain moisture, it will quickly wither. Instead of becoming firmly rooted in well-watered soil, this seed springs up quickly for a while, but has no roots to nourish it and keep it stable because the soil is inadequate. Let's hold on to the promise God makes through James. God will bless you if you don't give up when your faith is being tested. He will reward you with a glorious life, just as he rewards everyone who loves him. The third group of people are half-hearted. These are ones who hear, but then the seed is crowded out and nothing comes of it as they go about their lives, worrying about tomorrow, making money, and having fun. There are three types of thorn mentioned here. Worries, which preoccupy us to such an extent that we're prevented from focusing on God's constant blessings. Riches, wanting more money or stuff and valuing it above all else. And pleasures, either literal addictions of different types, or when we prioritise enjoyable things such as hobbies or passions above God. These people fill their lives with so many good things that there is no room for spiritual fruit and they do not mature. A couple of biblical examples of these type of double-minded people are King Herod, who we read in Mark 6 used to enjoy listening to John the Baptist, but was drawn away from God's word by his lifestyle. And Demas, who we're told in 2 Timothy 4, deserted Paul because he fell in love with the things of this world. These first three groups of people lead to great disappointment and sadness. Whenever I hear this story, I wonder whether I sometimes fall into one of these first three categories. That I'm hard-hearted, faint-hearted or half-hearted, and maybe I'll miss the word that God has for me. And it may be today that you haven't ever received the word of God, the good news of the gospel of Jesus, and accepted it into your life. If that's you, then can I encourage you to respond now by choosing to believe in him? And rather than worrying about where we might be failing, let's focus instead on becoming like the good soil. Soil not hardened by human footsteps, not lacking in depth, not infested with weeds, but wholly suitable for healthy plant growth. So now we come to the good soil, the fertile, productive soil, and the people who are wholehearted. The seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. It starts with our heart. And the Bible has so much to say about this. In Luke 6, Jesus says, "A good person produces good things from a good heart." We're encouraged to guard our heart, to have an undivided heart, to be people after God's own heart. So important to pay repeated attention to the state of our heart. To ask God, in the words of Psalm 139, to search us and know our heart. What will enable the seed of God's word to take root effectively in our lives? How do we become honest, good-hearted people? Well, Jesus himself highlights three characteristics of good soil. And the first is that we are to hear God's word. One of Jesus' most repeated exhortations to those listening to him when he taught was, "Let them hear." And we read it in verse 8 of this parable too. We need to listen to God in order to hear his word and be receptive to it. This is about giving ourselves the opportunity regularly to be exposed to God's word, whether it's through Bible reading, talking with other Christians, listening to worship music or podcasts, or spending time in silence with God. Once we hear God's word, we can then respond to it and put it into practice. Secondly, we are to cling to God's word and persevere in it. I love the translation of this verb as cling, as it's really visual. We're encouraged to hold on to God's word. This is about repeating it, reflecting on it, internalizing it, making it our own. Discipline and obedience are such unfashionable concepts these days, and yet they are so necessary. Jesus had a lot to say about God, about putting God's word into practice. Remember when he used the image of a wise person building their house on a rock rather than on the sand. And in his letter, Jesus' brother James is quite direct on this. "Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you're anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are those like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are, what they look like." This is where it helps to have routines and rhythms in our day. Moments when we stop and take time to be with God, even when we don't feel like it. Good habits mean that when things get tough, we patiently keep going. And thirdly, we are to produce fruit. In good soil, there is abundant harvest. And we know from John 15 that the key to producing fruit is remaining or abiding in God, by cultivating the relationship we have with Jesus, the vine. We aren't responsible for producing the fruit. It will come automatically if we hear, cling, and persevere. The evidence of fruit comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, described in Galatians 5 as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Isn't it wonderful when we see evidence of such fruit in each other's lives? Can I encourage you to tell someone when you notice something in their lives? It will encourage them to keep going and to give the glory to God. How do we produce fruit? By remaining in Jesus. One commentator says, these words of Jesus are not just about other people. They're about you and me every time we hear the word of God. In one sense, the whole of your life is a response to the word of God. The more responsive you are, the more you will be given. We began by saying that Jesus sees his mission as a way of speaking and acting, which will give people the greatest opportunity to respond to the word of God. This reminds me very much of what Sam and Sarah and Steve were saying last weekend about whole life worship. And isn't it the same for us? Isn't our mission also to speak and act in such a way as to give people the greatest opportunity to respond to the word of God embodied in Jesus? Yes, we need to pay attention to the quality of our own soil, but also speak and act and live every day so that those we meet will in turn be receptive to God's good news. As you would expect, the Soil Association get very enthusiastic about soil. On their website, they say this: considering that just one teaspoon of soil can hold more organisms than there are people on the whole planet, we think that our soils are well worth protecting. How much more do we need to protect our hearts? To feed them, to water them, to pay attention to their quality and nourish them with the essential nutrients of prayer, worship, and God's word. I recently reread Luke's gospel, the whole of the gospel, and as I was preparing for this talk, I was struck by one line in the very last chapter, which relates what happened after Jesus' resurrection. The disciples are meeting together, and Jesus appears to them, and we read this wonderful phrase: he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. At that time, the scriptures referred to the Jewish writings, part of the Old Testament as we now know it. Now, we have the whole package, the entire arc of the history of God's interaction with humankind, his plan of salvation, described in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament through the life of Jesus. What an incredibly rich resource. And how amazing that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, wants to open our minds to understand the scriptures. As we begin this series, Rooted in the Word, I have a challenge for you. I want to invite you to join me in praying each day over the next 4 weeks that God would open our minds to understand the scriptures. Find a time of the day which suits you best to read part of the Bible, either a few verses or perhaps a chapter. Before you start, pray this: Lord, help me to be rooted in your word. Open my mind to understand the scriptures. you may want to join me in taking a few verses of Psalm 119 each day. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, and it's all about how much the writer loves God's word. I plan to read 5 verses of Psalm 119 each day, starting today until the 20th of November, and I invite you to join me. And as we do this together, let's pray for each other, that we will hear God's word, that we'll cling to it, persevere in it, and expect him to produce fruit in our lives. Let's begin now with just a moment of quiet. And let's pray together. Lord, help me to be rooted in your word. Open my mind to understand the scriptures. Amen.